It's time for Fresh Oil with singer-songwriter and pastor Keith Manley, a program designed to minister the gospel of God's grace and to bring fresh oil to the brokenhearted. And now, with today's program, Pastor Keith Manley.
Hello, my friend. Welcome to the program that we call Fresh Oil. And it's so good to have you being a part of the audience today. Today, I want to share an entire book of the Bible. It's tiny. It's tucked away in your New Testament. It's the book of Jude. And Jude begins with verse 1 by saying, Jude, a bondservant of Jesus Christ and brother of James, to those who are the called, beloved in God the Father, and kept for Jesus Christ, may mercy and peace and love be multiplied to you. Even though this book is only one chapter long, it's filled with a lot of great truths that can be a blessing in your life. And I find it so interesting that when Jude gives us his opening, he gives us his salutation, he identifies himself as a bondservant of Jesus Christ and a brother of James. Now, this is very significant because James, the brother of Jesus, was a leader in the early church. And Jude identifies himself as his brother. And so he was therefore a part of Jesus' family. And yet Jude does not claim any special privilege from his earthly relationship with Jesus Christ. Instead, he humbly identifies himself as a bondservant of Jesus Christ. Now, you might be thinking, what is a bondservant, Keith? Is it any different than a servant? Oh, yeah, there's a big difference. You see, in Exodus chapter 21, it's laid out very clearly that if someone falls into debt and they could not pay their debt, they could sell themselves or a family member into servitude as a way of paying off the debt. This was not a permanent condition, but it was a way for the person to regain their freedom after a set period of time. Usually it was 6 years. And on the 7th year, the servant was to be released without owing anything further. But what would happen if the servant loved his master and he became attached to the master's family and he wanted to stay? Well, that's found in the book of Deuteronomy. In Deuteronomy chapter 15, it said this, "But if your servant says to you, 'I do not want to leave you because he loves you and your family and he is well off with you,' then take an awl and push it through his earlobe into the door, and he will become your servant for life, and do the same for your female servant." This was a process called bondservant. If someone loved their master so much and they wanted to stay, they would go to him after they're nearing their time of completion, and they would say, "Master, I want to be your bondservant. I want to be your servant for life." Now, you would think automatically, why would anyone do that? After working off all their time of debt, why wouldn't they want to just go free? Well, because there is a real privilege to being the bondservant. Because as a bondservant, the master was then responsible to take care of your every need, your food, your clothing, your shelter. It was all taken care of by your master. And they came to love the master as he took such good care of them. Now, do you see the spiritual connection? You see, Paul called himself a bondservant of Christ. John called himself in the book of Revelation, "I, John, a bondservant of Christ Jesus." And now, Jude is referred to here in the Bible as a bondservant or a bondslave of Jesus Christ. Jude didn't invoke his special privilege and say, "I'm the brother of Jesus Christ," because now he had become a bondservant to Jesus. He recognized that he was more than just an earthly brother. He was God's own son, and Jude was his servant. So now that we know about the author of the letter, who's he writing the letter to? Who's his audience? He says this, "To those who are the called, beloved in God the Father, and kept for Jesus Christ." So Jude's audience, the called ones. The called ones. This is a reminder to us as believers today that we're not just a random group of people. We've been called and chosen by God, and we're kept for Jesus Christ. That's a powerful truth, friend. Now, I want you to notice Jude's blessing that he gives the readers in verse 2. May mercy and peace and love be multiplied to you. Now this greeting, this blessing, it's not just a formality that Jude's giving here. No, he is giving vital qualities for the believer's life. He's wishing them qualities that we need in order to stand firm in our faith and in our walk with God. Now in verse 3, Jude tells us the urgency of this letter. He says, "Beloved, while I was making every effort to write you about our common salvation, I felt the necessity to write to you appealing that you contend earnestly for the faith which was once for all handed down to the saints." See, Jude had originally intended to write to the believers about this wonderful shared salvation they had, but something more pressing led him to bring up a different subject. False teachers had infiltrated the church, and they were promoting some very destructive heresies and doctrines that were devastating to the church. They were twisting the grace of God and using it as an excuse for immoral living and denying the lordship of Jesus Christ. And Jude writes, "I really wanted to write to you about the salvation we share, but this is urgent, so that's why I'm sharing this." This warning is just as urgent for us today, friend. False teachings have always been a danger to the church, and they continue to threaten our spiritual health. And Jude urges us to contend for the faith, to actively defend the true gospel, to protect the purity of our doctrine, and to stay firm in our belief in Jesus Christ as the only Lord and Savior. Now, I want to read verse 4 out of the New International Version because it's a little clearer. He says, "For certain men whose condemnation was written about long ago have secretly slipped in among you. They are godless men who change the grace of our God into a license for immorality, and they deny Jesus Christ, our only sovereign and Lord." So these are people that came along and they changed the message of God's grace into a license to sin. Now, this is a very important verse to me because I just wrote a book called The Grace Revolution. Worked on it for 26 years, finally released it on Amazon, and I talk about the message of God's grace and how it transformed my life. But there are people who take the grace message, the message of God's forgiveness, and they turn it into a license to sin and say, because of grace, I can do anything I want. No, grace causes you to do more than you could ever do under the law. Jude urges us to contend for the faith, to actively defend the true gospel of Jesus Christ and to protect the purity of what we believe. When I think of the word contend, it makes me think of a boxer. A boxer will contend for the title. He'll defend that title that he has as champion. You and I are to defend the gospel, and we are not to allow false doctrines to creep in to our church and into our home. The gospel we hold on to, it was the gospel that was entrusted to the saints, and we hold on to that, unchanging and unshakable. Look now at verse 5. Jude says, "Though you already know all this, I want to remind you that the Lord delivered his people out of Egypt, but later destroyed those who did not believe, and the angels who did not keep their positions of authority, but abandoned their own home. These he has kept in darkness, bound with everlasting chains for judgment on the great day." Now Jude is reminding his readers of the judgment of God that came upon those who rebelled against God. He references three examples from the Old Testament to serve as warnings. Example number one, the Israelites in the wilderness. God delivered them out of Egypt, but most of them didn't believe, and they were destroyed in the wilderness. They never made it into the promised land because of their unbelief. And then there were the fallen angels that he spoke about in verse 6. These angels who rebelled against God, they're now bound in chains, and they're awaiting judgment. And the third one is found in verse 7. He says, in a similar way, Sodom and Gomorrah and the surrounding towns gave themselves up to sexual immorality and perversion, and they serve as an example of those who suffer the punishment of eternal fire. So these three examples are there to show us that God doesn't take sin lightly. His judgment, it's sure, it's certain, and he'll punish those who persist in rebellion. And this is a sobering reminder for us today that God has called us to live a holy life. We're not saved by our works, but we're enabled by the grace of God to begin to live a holy life like God has called us to live. Now Jude is going to really give them a stern warning about the false teachers. In verse 8, he says, in the very same way, these dreamers pollute their own bodies, reject authority, and slander celestial beings. But even the archangel Michael, when he was disputing with the devil about the body of Moses, did not dare to bring a slanderous accusation against him, but said, the Lord rebuke you. Yet these men speak abusively against whatever they do not understand, and what things they do understand by instinct, like unreasoning animals, these are the very things that destroy them. Jude calls these people dreamers. They defile the flesh, they reject authority, and they speak against the glorious ones. He called them grumblers and fault finders who follow their own desires. And he pointed out in verse 16 that they were self-serving. They were seeking their own personal gain and not the will of God and God's interest and God's gospel. In verse 11, Jude goes on and he says, woe to them! They have taken the way of Cain. They have rushed for profit into Balaam's error, and they have been destroyed in Korah's rebellion. Now Jude's giving them a history lesson. He brings up people who have failed and fallen in the past. Cain, Balaam, Korah. Remember when the earth opened up and swallowed Korah up in God's wrath? These men are blemishes at your love feast, eating with you without the slightest qualm. Shepherds who feed only themselves. They're clouds without rain, blown along by the wind. Autumn trees without fruit and uprooted, twice dead. Boy, is he painting a vivid picture of these false teachers. They're wild waves of the sea, foaming up their shame, wandering stars for whom blackest darkness has been reserved forever. Enoch, the seventh from Adam, prophesied about these men. See, the Lord is coming with thousands upon thousands of his holy ones to judge everyone and to convict all the ungodly of all the ungodly acts they have done in the ungodly way, and of all the harsh words ungodly sinners have spoken against him. These men are grumblers and fault finders. They follow their own evil desires. They boast about themselves, and they flatter others for their own advantage. Now remember, Jude wanted to write about the wonderful salvation that we all share. But instead, he had to write about these false teachers because they were perverting the gospel of Jesus. They were changing the message of God's grace into something that it was not. Now let me close in my last minute here. He says, but dear friends, remember what the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ foretold. They said to you, in the last times there will be scoffers who will follow their own ungodly desires. These are the men who divide you, who follow mere natural instincts and do not have the Spirit. But you, dear friends, build yourselves up in your most holy faith. What a great verse. And pray in the Holy Spirit. Keep yourselves in God's love as you wait for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ to bring you to eternal life. Be merciful to those who doubt. Snatch others from the fire and save them. To others show mercy mixed with fear, hating even the clothing stained by corrupted flesh. And then he says, to him who's able to keep you from falling and to present you before his glorious presence without fault and with great joy, to the only God and our Savior, be glory, majesty, power, and authority through Jesus Christ, our Lord, before all ages, now and forevermore. Amen.
Thanks for joining us today for Fresh Oil with Pastor Keith Manley. Fresh Oil is an outreach of Grace Family Church in Rockford, Illinois, and can be heard each weekday at this same time. You can reach us online at weneedgod.com. Until next time, remember, God's love for you is unconditional, and He he makes his mercies new every morning.